you in the whole 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get to your podcast. It is Friday, November 12th. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel all here with you. A full boat for a full show on Friday. And if Thursday night is any indication, we're in for a weird show today, Matthew.
Dude, you ain't lying. And by the way, I just want to say this to all of our listeners.
Right.
You can download the show wherever you get podcasts. You don't have to. I don't want to put any pressure on our audience.
Okay.
I just want them to know that option is available to them.
Available.
But you know what? Go at your own pace.
Can I ask you a question?
There's no pressure. It's not a race. Download or don't download, whatever makes you feel comfortable. Just, you know, listen, I want to be encouraging.
The way that you phrased that, you made it seem like I demanded it of them.
Just saying,
I read the script and it says, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast.
You put emphasis on it. I felt like if you read between the lines, if you look into your eyes, it felt like, you know, you can. It meant like you should.
I should have said you may download. That's on me.
It is permissible to download this podcast.
Is all I'm asking. More inclusive, more supportive language.
Gotcha.
Is all I'm asking for. I want our audience to know that they are loved, they are embraced, and that whatever path they choose, we support.
That's right.
Are you trying to reenact Daniel from yesterday?
I did not download yesterday. Again, I chose
it was like one of the best moments of the season. I can't tell if you're trying to like rip it off. Like you're dollar store Daniel Dopp over there.
No, not true at all.
I certainly hair-wise, I'm like penny store Daniel Dopp. Well, you know, when we come to, you know, facial and other.
I actually like you with a little bit of scruff, Matthew. I'm not going to lie. I think you look good with a little bit of scruff.
Oh, thanks, Sailor. Night's young. Hey, look, I did not see the show yesterday. What happened? I legit missed it.
I was busy writing. It was like the most viral clip of the show, but
ever. It was okay.
Who's online? I'm barely online.
I know you're not. Yeah. It's correct. I know. It wasn't on TikTok. It hasn't made TikTok yet.
I'm only on the talk.
You can check it out.
I'm on Roblox. What?
Check it out on Twitter at Daniel Dopp if you want to, Matthew.
Okay.
I just talked about why I served in the military and why people are important to me and you know. All that good stuff.
Well, that is all. Listen, legitimately, and Daniel, I've written about you. For Veterans Day. You served our country proudly and well and served honorably in the Air Force for 6 years in the intelligence community. And I have thanked you many years for your service. We did something on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus.
Yep.
Yesterday. You can check it out. It's streaming right now on ESPN Plus. But yes, you know, and I wrote an article yesterday. Hopefully everyone reads it on ESPN about Veterans Day.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. You know, I'm not online as much as you are, Matthew, but I was online enough yesterday to read that love-hate article as we do every Thursday when it drops on ESPN.com. All right, so we're going to get to Thursday Night Football, which was a weird game if I've ever seen one. And I know that we forgot to do this yesterday on the show, picking the game, but Mike, Daniel, Stefania, and I all had the Dolphins winning. So
I can confirm.
You don't need to fact check that. Yeah. We all had the Dolphins winning. So we'll just do a victory lap in a few moments here. But before we get to that, plus a full preview of the weekend slate, we have two pieces of news yesterday.
Big.
And like to the point that the second piece of news was such old news by the time we got to the start of NFL Live yesterday, which I was on, that we didn't talk about it until 4:47 p.m. That gives you the gravity of just how much this first piece of news moved the needle. That is Odell Beckham Jr. has joined the Los Angeles Rams. And for both this and the Cam Newton news, which we'll discuss in a moment, we're not going to get into the deepest of dives because I think both moves have much more value in week 11 or in the case of OBJ, week 12 and on. But definitely notable enough that we want to mention them here, Matthew. I was surprised Odell chose the Rams, to be honest with you. I thought there were opportunities for him to land somewhere else where he could have a greater impact and certainly have a greater fantasy impact.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were surprised, actually, that he chose the Rams. But some of the stories that have come out is that Sean McVay got on the phone with him. Apparently, from the reports that I've read, it was between the Packers and the Rams, actually. Odell did not feel like the Packers were, quote, fully committed. I think they offered him just the veterans minimum. And Sean McVay got on the phone. I don't know if you've ever met Sean McVay. I've been lucky enough to meet him a handful of times. And he's exactly what you might think he is, which is super smart, super charming, super intense, and very, very football smart. And so the reports are is that he got on the phone with Odell and said, look, this is how we're going to use you. Right. These are the ways that I'm going to deploy you in our offense. We pass it 65% of the time. You're going to see a ton of single coverage. And, by the way, Sean McVay, just generally speaking, is a player's coach. He's a young guy. He speaks the language. So I think, you know, they did a sell job to Odell Beckham Jr. And he bought in. It's obviously a great team. He goes to by far the best quarterback of his career in Matthew Stafford. He goes to, with all due respect, to previous coaches, the best offensive system he's ever been in. Like, I think Kevin Stefanski's a really good coach. Mm-hmm, legit think he's a really good coach. He's not the best fantasy-friendly offensive pass-calling coach if you're a wide receiver. Like, really good coach Stefanski is. But Sean McVay, in terms of passing offense, is as good as there is in the NFL. All that said, so that explains to me why Beckham chose the Rams. By the way, it's also like he's a star, and LA is a city of stars. Like, that's
a home for him, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. All that said, I think the fantasy impact is almost minimal.
Minimal, yeah. I think, I'd say it's probably relative to what Odell Beckham Jr.'s talent is. I think we know what the bare minimum is, which is staying in Cleveland, right?
Sure.
But this is certainly not like if he'd gone to Kansas City or Green Bay, I would have felt much more optimistic about him.
Even New Orleans, because he would have been maybe, New Orleans would have been the alpha dog.
He would have been
the guy.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. So let's dive into this more next week when we have a full chance to really do so. But just quickly, just for Monday night, I think there's a chance he could play. I'm also not expecting much more than like 10, 15 total snaps. So the only way that I'd be utilizing Odell Beckham Jr. is probably if I were absolutely desperate, you know, decimated by buys this week, which there aren't a ton of fantasy relevant players relative to other bye weeks this week. So I think I'm probably only playing if I absolutely must.
Totally agree with that. And I have one theory that I want to pose to you, and then we can move off of this. But very quickly, I'll just tell you why I think it's minimal fantasy impact. I don't think Cooper Kupp's going anywhere.
Correct.
I don't think Robert Woods loses much target share.
Okay.
Rams run three wide receiver sets more than any team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So that means basically I think he rotates with Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson's currently got a 14% target share.
Mm-hmm.
14%.
Yeah.
And I don't think Van Jefferson suddenly disappears.
Right.
So in essence, basically what I think is Beckham and Van Jefferson are somehow splitting up a 14% target share. And you're like, by the way, Tyler Higbee ain't going away, and they like running the ball with Daryl Henderson.
Yeah.
Thirsty Kyle looked this up for me yesterday, and I thought this was pretty good. Just so you know, he looked at what the number three wide receiver did, right? You know, like whether it's DeSean Jackson, whether it was Van Jefferson, whether it's Tyler Higbee, whatever.
Yeah, I already know where you're going, and the premise I'm not sure I agree with, but go ahead.
The bet, if you cherry picked the best non-Woods or Kupp wide pass catcher on the Rams for all nine games this year, that person averages 12.8 fantasy points per game. Wide receiver 38 on the season is what we're talking about here. Is Beckham more talented than all those guys?
Correct.
Of course he is. Of course he is. But do you, Field Yates, as we sit here today, think there's going to be consistent fantasy value for Odell Beckham Jr. as long as Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are healthy? I say no.
I think if you gave me the over-under for 12.8, I would say it's going to be like best case scenario, like 13.8, like 1 point better than what the average has been for the best third pass catcher in the Rams offense all season.
Okay, so then play that forward, right? So,
yeah, 12, no,
so that's wide receiver 38.
Yeah, no,
maybe
I
it's
agree.
A little bit more. So maybe he's wide receiver 30, wide receiver 32. Sure,
but I think there are a better chance for spike weeks is what I would say compared to some where the other guys have been, right?
1,000% agree on that, but you're not going to know when those are.
Of course.
So here's my question to you, and then we'll move off of this because I think the answer is yes. Is Odell Beckham Jr.'s trade value the highest it's been right now? The premise of he's going to the Rams and Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, and he's healthy and he wants to prove it. It's a homecoming and he's in the best shape of his life. He's finally fully healthy and he's got an offensive coach that's going to utilize him and he's going to be on best behavior. Can't you sell that to a fellow fantasy manager, the dream of that, which I think is more valuable than what the reality is actually going to be? And you can do it over this weekend before we get to see him whatever.
It's a fair point. I don't think it's a must sell, right? Like, I think there's nothing wrong with potentially holding on to him. And the other thing is that if I'm looking to acquire Odell Beckham Jr., like, I have to be smart. I'm not getting to use this player realistically until week 12, week 11, Monday night, week 10 Monday night, week 11 is their bye week. Like, if you can get a usable piece, I'm fine with it, but I'm also okay with letting it test the waters. Let's keep moving here. So we really have a ton to get to.
If I have Odell Beckham Jr., I ain't buying, and I'm trying to sell this weekend.
Cam
That's
Newton
my point.
Is back. Who says you can't go home? As Cam Newton is now with the Carolina Panthers once more, he signed a deal for the rest of this season worth up to $10 million, $4.5 million of which is guaranteed. The mention of the specifics of the contract are important here because what it tells you, he's going to be their starter. Matthew, it's an amazing story. It makes me happy to see Cam Newton back in the NFL. It makes me happy to see him back in Carolina. Does it matter for fantasy, though?
Maybe.
Okay.
And here's what I'll tell you. First off, listen, I'm with you. Great story. Cam Newton's fun. The NFL's better with Cam Newton in mm-hmm. it. We agree on that.
Totally.
And you say, well, he's going back to Carolina. Sort of. It's the same franchise. He's wearing number one. I get it. He's going to play for Matt Rhule, who he's never played a snap for.
Okay.
Right? I mean, people are like, oh, he's going to be back to Carolina. He's not Carolina Panther Cam. That's out the window. He's going to an entirely new offensive system here.
All I said was going back to Carolina.
I understand.
That's like literally indisputable.
No, of
okay,
course.
What you're saying is this is not reincarnating the Cam of 2011 to 2018.
Correct. There That's what I'm saying is I think people, he's reunited. And yes, he is going back to the franchise that drafted him where he played the majority of his career. But it is a completely different team, offense, and system. Sure. Is what I'm going to argue. The other thing is, but does it matter for fantasy? I think it does for two reasons. I think Cam, even whatever version of Cam we currently get, right? Because he's not the Cam of 2011 to 2018, right? We've seen a decrease in his quality of play the last couple of seasons. But whatever level that is, still probably better than PJ Walker. And better than what Sam Darnold has done recently. So to the extent that you have DJ Moore, I mean, Chris McCaffrey is still a rock star regardless of who's under center. But to the extent that you have DJ Moore, the fact that, you know, could Cam Newton help resurrect Robbie Anderson? Maybe. I think it's mostly about DJ Moore that I think hopefully this bodes well for him.
Yeah, interestingly
enough.
It's
still going to be massive target share. Look, Cam Newton is not the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. We know that.
Right.
And I'm not really worried about CMC. I know there's talk about, well, he'll vulture touchdowns. I think that Cam Newton is basically a mid-tier QB2.
Fair like enough. Fantasy-wise. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I actually think the most important fantasy outlook from here is tied to Cam Newton himself, who I think has a chance to be like a, you use the stat a ton during the preseason. It was a good one. Like, the Cam Newton last year was quarterback 16 on a points per game basis.
Right.
And he had like no wide receivers and really struggled to throw. I think that's what this is about, is that, like, I know Sam Darnold has been miserable recently, but Cam also struggled a lot as a thrower last season. Maybe it resuscitates the value of Robbie Anderson a little bit because Cam is such a cannon of an arm that maybe there's a few deep shots for Robbie Anderson. Heck, one deep shot would be more than we've seen so far this year. But I don't know that, like, I feel dramatic. Like, I don't know that Robbie Anderson's season, excuse me, well, his too, but really DJ Moore's season is bound to get back on track like it was at the beginning of the year.
No, but I'm just saying it
can't hurt
to go but up for DJ Moore, given the talent and the target share that he gets in that offense. The other thing that's sort of exciting is, if you remember, we were always joking about it, but the first 3 weeks of the season, like, guess who leads the league in rushing touchdowns? Sam Darnold.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, so they're
that
not.
That was Luke. A
little bit, but my point is that offense is built in a way that potentially Cam Newton could get back to being New England Patriots Cam Newton of a year ago, where he was, to your point, QB 16 on a points per game basis, despite the fact that he didn't have over 200 yards passing, I believe, in any game all last year.
He had a few, but still, the point is.
Okay. I thought he only had one, maybe week 17, but.
In the big passing game against Seattle, week two of the last season, remember, he went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson. There were a few of them, but still, the point is, not frequently is the point.
He was not, look, his best wide receiver
was
Jacoby Myers.
I think it was, like, there was like three games with two touchdown passes. It was very limited. Yes.
So anyway, but the point here is that with DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Chris McCaffrey, Marshall, I mean, he's probably got more talent around him than he has in quite some time.
Sure, yeah.
So listen, two quarterback league, he's probably already picked up in whatever two quarterback leagues are out there or deeper leagues, but I don't mind him in that. But in a 10-team, 12-team, one quarterback league, not interested.
Unless something dramatic happens that we have not seen in quite some time, I agree there, but I can't wait for the story. It's a good one for Carolina. Let's move to Thursday Night Football, and as we mentioned, as we all predicted, the Dolphins beat the Ravens. Sorry, we did not predict
dominated
that.
Them. Didn't beat them, dominated them.
22-10, a weird NFL season continues. Let's start that close.
22-10 and won that close.
No doubt.
The only people that were grateful for that game last night, Field Yates?
People who play fantasy? people Dolphins fans?
That watched the Bills Jaguars last week because they're like, all right, well, this was a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. No, so
Bills Jaguars were like, hey, maybe we're off the hook. Yeah. You know, at least we weren't on prime time.
A lot of
that
talk
was
this morning.
Awful.
Yeah, a lot was of talk.
That's the worst NFL game I've seen in a long time.
It was bad. It was definitely really bad. That being said, there were, let's get through the highlights. Lamar Jackson, 15.4 fantasy points, which tells you, like, in a truly awful, deplorable game for Lamar Jackson, he still finishes with 15.4 fantasy points. He picked up quite a bit of those in the fourth quarter. Seems like the Dolphins put together a pretty solid game plan last night of using their defensive backs to blitz. Javon Holland, specifically, their second round pick out of Oregon.
They blitzed the living bleep out of them. Mm-hmm. And Baltimore, I thought it was, by the way, Lamar Jackson, really bad at it, day at the office, did not play well. I thought the coaching staff of Baltimore also had an awful day because they made no adjustments at halftime. Like Miami just said, we're going to blitz and we're going to keep blitzing and we're going to blitz until you guys figure it out. And they had all game and they didn't figure it out. And they got, I think Brian Baldinger said this as well, they got 10 days to figure it out because every other team in the NFL is like, oh, all right.
Sure. Yeah. You know, one thing I will say is, again, we did not predict, I don't think any of us would have picked the Dolphins to win yesterday. One thing I did mention, though, is that, like, Baltimore has been playing with fire this season. Like, they're a great story. They were a great story at 6-2 going into last night. But think about some of the games they won. Like, they pulled a rabbit out of their hat in the fourth quarter against Daniel's Lions.
Yeah.
Against the Chiefs all the way back in week two. It happened last week as well. Like, this is a team who has recently found ways to win against inferior opponents, and last night they lost to an inferior opponent. Just again, quickly on the highlights here, Devontae Freeman, 8.8 fantasy points. He had the most for all Ravens running backs. Begin, if you're starting a Ravens running back right now, good luck to you. Hollywood Brown, 6 for 37, but he had 13 targets. This is just a bad day at the office. It stands to reason that when the quarterback struggles, his top targets are going to struggle. Mark Andrews was good enough, more than good enough, 6 catches for 63 yards and a late touchdown for him. But Rashad Bateman, I think, is worth mentioning one more time. We've been telling you for weeks, just grab him off the waiver wire. He's just sitting there waiting for you. I think there's an opportunity here to go grab him right now. I would do so immediately because he had 6 catches for 80 yards last night, continues to look the part. He's averaging 7 targets per game since debuting.
I don't think he's available right now because they
you can't, obviously, now. I'm just saying. But this is your last chance. Like, if you're, you know, waivers Tuesday night, he should be a priority for you.
We've been saying that for a couple of weeks. Rashad Bateman, he can play.
Rashad Bateman is available.
69.3% of leagues, I believe.
That is a mistake.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
What's it? 30.7, right?
32.5% rostered.
Oh, it's changed as I looked at it last night. All right, moving forward here to the Dolphins. And Stefania, this is a weird one here. Dolphins went into the game, which Jacoby Brissett is their starter. Tua was only available in case of emergency, so not healthy enough to start, but healthy enough to play if needed. And then Jacoby Brissett gets hurt.
Right. It's exactly what you're hoping doesn't happen if you have Tua as the backup because you really didn't want him to play. I posted a series of tweets if you want to look at it. I have a hypothetical on this. I think it's a situation where, you know, there's a conversation. It's more nuanced than just 100% healthy or not. And it's one of those where I think he was better, but they really wanted to give him a little more time to mitigate the risk of re-injury. But if they had to use him in a pinch, they would. And then you go into the game just hoping that that doesn't happen, or if it happens, it's for a very short period of time. And one of the things you saw, I noted this, you know, only took 3 snaps under center. 2 of those were at the 1-yard line, you know, avoiding hard contact with the ball. He did have that encounter of his finger with linebacker Patrick Queen's hand, and you saw him shaking his hand after that. So, you know, those are the things that happen in a game that you can't plan for, that you worry about when you're not 100%. Tua afterwards said his hand didn't feel good, but he knew that. But he still wanted to play. He was still lobbying to play. Brian Flores said today, this morning, that it was not, you know, he's always trying to do what's best for the player. And it was not a question of not wanting him to play as a personal matter. So I think now they've got 10 days. I think going forward, you're going to be, you know, Tua will be in the shape in 10 days that they wanted him to be before they put him back in as a starter.
Interesting stuff. And perhaps Tua is the guy for the rest of the year if he's healthy enough to play in week 11. The rest of the Dolphins offense did very, very little last night. Miles Gaskin, I think Kyle's cracked the code. Because we don't know when to play Myles Gaskin. When you think he's going to do well, he doesn't. When you think he's going to not do well, he does do well. Week 3, 5, 7, and 9, all odd weeks in succession. 10.4 points, 31.9 fantasy points, 17.7 fantasy points, 15.7 fantasy points. You can live with all those, right?
Sure.
Weeks 4, 6, 8, and 10, 0.3, 6, excuse me, week 6, 3.4, 8.5, and 5.5. I will say this. I will say this.
Yes, sir.
Until Malcolm Brown returns, I actually was encouraged by the usage last night. And that night for Myles Gaston actually looks a little bit different if a couple of things happen. One, he had at least one catch called back due to holding, mm-hmm. like a 12 or 15 yard gain.
Yep.
Two, they had a first and goal from the one, mm-hmm. and he got two goal line carries.
Huge.
In the first one, he was stuffed on. The second one, he walked into the end zone, but Miami flinched. It was a false start. But it was one of those plays that, like, the ref didn't immediately blow the whistle. So it would have been a touchdown if not for that slight false start. The following play was the play that everybody is talking about still. It was a screen pass set up for Myles Gaston that his guard decided to grab out of midair because it was hilarious. That was Robert Hunt. So I'm actually okay with the usage for Myles Gaskin last night. Like, I can live with it all. The result stinks, but it's hard to argue with, again, he's clearly the guy until Malcolm Brown returns. Jalen Waddle, 4 for 61 on 6 targets. What a great route it was on that big vertical shot down the field. Mike Kosicki with the bagel on 7 targets. He had a couple near catches. I'm not sure what to tell you, man. Like, he's a good player. He's a really good player. I would have started him if I had him last night. I did start him in a league, so I know it stinks, but if you told me a tight end's going to get 7 targets, I would tell you he's basically a must-start, especially one as athletic as Mike Gesicki. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but the Dolphins have a pretty juicy schedule coming up. I do think this team could look a lot better. Look at their next 5 weeks. Jets, Panthers, Giants, Jets. Keep an eye on that Miami Dolphins defense. Wow. They're available in 83% of leagues.
With Tua coming back, Gesicki might be a buy low here. I really like Gesicki, and I get it. It was a bagel. It was a bad game last night. The whole team was terrible, but the whole game, I should say. But I'm a Gesicki believer.
One more thing. Brian Flores this morning saying he expects Will Fuller to practice and potentially play next week.
Okay, keep an eye on Will Fuller's status next week. So again, if you're looking for the Dolphins defense, you could potentially get some upside there. Or Daniel, get upside more specifically.
That's right. Hey, yes. Football fans, we have an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FFF and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash goes right into your, cash back goes right into your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app. Use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FFF.
Injuries time, and we begin, of course, with Stefania. And Stefania, Matthew Stafford didn't look right last Sunday night, but that's me just thinking there's something to that. But he has been banged up a bit recently with that back issue. Is he okay?
It's a fair question. You know, Matthew Stafford's never going to give you much. He'll always say he feels fine, and he's going to play. But you're right. He looked off last week. He didn't practice. He had the sore back. He did seem to get a little bit better as the game went on, but then he rolled his ankle as well when he was trying to get out of the pocket, move to the left and throw. He turned his ankle. He also minimized that. So not as much practice for him so far this week, but again, only official reports since yesterday because they play Monday night against the 49ers. And I expect Matthew Stafford to be out there, no question.
That is good news. Last week, we saw life without James Robinson for the Jaguars. Will he be back on the field this weekend?
Okay, so this one is frustrating me because I think the message that we're getting is not consistent. If you recall last week with the bruised heel, Urban Meyer made it sound, first of all, like it was a pain threshold thing, which, again, I'm a little bit sensitive to that because I think it puts something on the player that may not be totally fair. They said he was involved in a pregame warm-up and that he thought he was maybe going to go until that morning. And as soon as they made the decision for him not to go, I mean, basically the next day he was saying, but then he'll be back in week 10. Well, James Robinson could come down to a game time decision again. Urban Meyer saying this morning that he hopes he'll practice today, and today is a big day, and they see what they see, and he hopes it doesn't come down to a game time decision, but that's in the mix. So it's certainly not something where the player is 100%. And for me, I'm already thinking, no matter what, if James Robinson plays, I imagine you're going to get a healthy dose of Carlos Hyde because this doesn't sound like a player who is at full health.
Yeah, Urban Meyer said today that he expects a good amount of Carlos Hyde on Sunday, or expect him to be at least sprinkled in on Sunday, Matthew. So I think this is one of those where if you have James Robinson, you're probably still playing him, but it's a lower expectations to borrow one of our frequently referred to cliches.
Yeah, it's a decent matchup with the Colts. They're about middle of the pack in terms of run defense over the last 4 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, lower expectations. But and it also, by the way, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be hard to predict because I think, you know, and Stefania talks about this all the time in terms of the game, right? I mean, James Robinson gets out there and he feels good, and then like he didn't want to come off, or he gets out there and he's just like, not feeling it. And all of a sudden it becomes the Carlos Hyde show, especially in the second half. So it's really dicey, but I think the upside of James Robinson, I think if he's active, you likely have to start him. But I agree with you, Field, certainly lower expectations and probably not playing him daily.
Stefania, the Bills obviously have a two-headed attack normally at running back with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Will Zach Moss be available on Sunday?
And Zach Moss, of course, in the concussion protocol. He was back out of practice yesterday, limited, wearing the no-contact blue jersey. So just the natural progression. We'll see if he makes it to the finish line.
As of this morning, he remains in concussion protocol. That, according to Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach. Matthew, I think if he sits, Devin Singletary becomes really interesting in this matchup against the Jets.
Becomes a must start, honestly, Devin Singletary. And Devin Singletary, by the way, made my love list. You know, the Jets struggle against pass-catching running backs. So if Zach Moss is even if he's used a little bit less, I think Singletary is a much riskier flex if Moss is active. If Moss is out, Singletary is a must start. If Moss is active, then I still think Singletary has a little bit is a risk-reward flex play, but probably a little bit more reward than in normal weeks, given the matchup and how they play against the Jets.
Field, Devin Singletary, $4,700 on DraftKings this weekend. You can hear the rest of all of those conversations on CSS DFS.
That's one of my favorite plays.
It's a great one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Really cheap.
$4,700.
Really
there are a lot
cheap.
Of good running backs around $4,500
yes,
this week.
Yes, there are.
A couple of them. One of them plays for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And let me ask Stefania about both the Patriots running backs. Stefania, yes, both Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson have been out of practice so far this week. Do you think there's any chance we'll see either of them?
So it's interesting. I talked to our friend Mike Reese about exactly this because the fact that we don't get to see anything that they're doing and both players are in the concussion protocol. Now, a lot of teams will have players who are working out to the side or you see them on the stationary bikes at practice. You see some evidence that they're actually moving through the portion of the concussion protocol that is light exercise. But with the Patriots running backs, we don't see anything. So we have no idea what their progression is. Mike said the fact that they hadn't signed any additional running backs to the practice squad made him think there was a chance that at least one of them played. Mm-hmm. But that's where we are at this moment. A lot of questions.
And I would be leaning towards Ramondre Stevenson playing on Sunday for those that may have both of them, like Matthew does in the War Room League.
I think
you will have at least one of them, Matthew. My sense is if you have only one, it'll be Ramondre Stevenson. There's a chance we'll have both, though. So I think things are actually trending in a reasonable direction for the Patriots. As we know, Stefania always tells us, nonlinear progression for these concussions, but I thought the fact that they haven't addressed the running back spot at all, like not even a practice squad guy that was added just in case, like a warm body. Like it's literally just Brandon Bolden and J.J. Harris.
J.J. Taylor.
If for some reason they do not sign anybody and both those players are ruled out, we'll have a deep dive on those two players on Sunday.
Question, because I don't know the answer to this, and I bet you do. Do the Patriots currently have a running back on their practice squad?
They do not.
Okay. So not only do they not have a, they didn't sign one, but I was just like, oh, maybe they already have a guy on their practice squad. So they don't have a running back on their practice squad. So I agree with you. That is certainly an encouraging sign. We obviously hope both guys are back. If for some reason that Damian Harris cannot play, but Ramondre Stevenson is in fact active, my expectation is Stevenson would be my highest ranked Patriots running back. Brandon Bolden would be a flex consideration of PPR leagues, and J.J. Taylor, nothing more than sort of a deep desperation flyer. That's how I would rank those running backs if Damian Harris misses, but the rest are all playing.
Well said. Agree with that. Stefania, the Bucs are sort of limited. They might only beat Matthew's Washington football team by 30 on Sunday. It sounds like there's a chance no Antonio Brown or Gronk, and maybe Chris Godwin.
Yeah, it's loaded injury report for them. So Bruce Arians actually spoke to all these things, and he talked about Gronk. He said that he doubts he will play. He was on Sirius XM speaking to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network and specifically said that he felt like they pushed it with New Orleans and that They really want him ready to go the distance when he goes. In other words, they don't want to take a chance on him being in and out of the game. Remember, he was coming back from broken ribs. He had back spasms, couldn't finish the game, and he's been out ever since. He has been doing some running workouts, but they want to give him a little more time. As far as Chris Godwin, the foot injury that cropped up after the bye that we never really heard much about, if you listen to Bruce Arians yesterday, he sounded pretty concerned about him, saying it was going to be a tough one. They would reevaluate him on Friday and see where they went. Today, Bruce Arians saying that Chris Godwin is expected to practice and he could be a game time decision. So it sounds like they're a little bit more optimistic today than they were a day ago. So that could come down to the wire. And then Antonio Brown still really, I think, in mid stage of his recovery from this. He was out of his walking boot doing some work on the side, but he has not officially practiced. And again, I referenced the video that he posted yesterday where he's being encouraged in his physical therapy, but he still looks like he has a long way to go before you trust him out there playing in a full game.
Yeah, Mike Evans now projected, according to Mike Clay, for 92.4 fantasy points on Sunday, especially if all three of those guys are inactive. More seriously,
by the way, one more thing. Scotty Miller could return this week. Now, he's been out since week three because of a turf toe injury, but he apparently is practicing, and there's a chance that Scotty Miller could be out there for them as well.
Really interesting daily considerations for basically every Bucs pass catcher besides, well, even including Mike Evans, because he's actually priced reasonably well for a guy who could seriously have like 15 targets on Sunday. So I kind of like all those guys. Anybody who's healthy, I kind of like them on Sunday, Matthew, to be honest.
You had me at their playing Washington
football team. Yeah, totally.
You had me at their playing the Washington football team.
100% agree. Yeah.
Be interesting to see what happens. I mean, look, I make no mistake. We're a challenged franchise. But I am curious. I'm just curious. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm putting this out there into the universe. And you guys can make fun of me and call me.
I plan on it, yeah.
But Washington played them tough last year in the playoffs. I would argue that Washington actually played them tougher than any other team during their Super Bowl run last year.
You would argue correctly.
Yeah. And so Heinicke had a huge game against them. Their defense went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. I thought Tampa Bay's the better team. There was no question last year. But Tampa Bay was lucky to get through that game. There was definitely a way that Washington could have won that playoff game. So it's off their bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They're not intimidated necessarily by the Buccaneers. Listen, I think it's probably more likely than not that Tampa Bay just rolls them. Mm-hmm. It's like 41-0.
Correct.
But in a year in which we just saw the Dolphins stomp the Ravens, mm-hmm. and we saw the Jaguars shock the Bills,
mm-hmm.
maybe
it's not happening.
Maybe Washington off the bye, fired up, circle the
fired
wagons.
Oh, okay,
come on, Coach Rivera, this is for you.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe.
Tampa coming
the
off their bye
football
as
team,
well.
They're banged up. Tampa's banged up.
I go the other way. Last year, Tampa exactly. still hadn't improved it yet. Like, I know that they had Tom Brady, but they still had to actually win a Super Bowl. Yeah. I am a true believer in the power of like winning a Super Bowl or an NBA championship. But it carries like a new sort of, you have a new mental capacity that you can operate with the following season. Like, this Bucs team, I think, is going to come out on Sunday and be out for blood because they lost their last game going into their bye. I think it could be an ugly afternoon for your Washington football team.
That's the much more likely scenario. I'm just saying, you're telling me there's a chance. Like,
not
I
really.
Know,
I'm actually, just, you know. I'm not telling you there's not much of a chance.
We're
fair.
Not. Yeah. But, I need someone else to pick on to deflect from my team.
Look, Starfanya, not much of a chance is still a chance.
I should stop because honestly, like, I gave the Dolphins no chance last night. Yeah. So I 100% agree.
I gave the Jaguars no chance 2 weeks ago against the Bills. Yeah.
I think it's unlikely.
Sure.
I don't think the stars have quite aligned. I do think Tampa takes care of business in a significant way. Let's go to more injuries. And Stefania, Alvin Kamara is a big one. Obviously one of the best players in fantasy football, and we have yet to see him this week.
Yeah, not practicing for the second straight day. We talked about this yesterday, that he has a mild sprain of his knees, what they're calling it. But they're protecting him, and I think this goes back to what they saw a couple years ago when he had an injury that compromised him when he tried to return too soon and he struggled. So if he's out, certainly Mark Ingram becomes more interesting.
Mark Ingram becomes very interesting.
But can I ask Stefania a follow-up here? Is this the kind of injury where it's just sort of a maintenance thing throughout the season, or like taking a week or two off will, quote, cure it?
Well, I don't know about cure. Look, it was a tweak of something that had been quiet. So it's not like they've been managing this. And I think they just don't want it to become something that's problematic all season. So the wise move is be conservative now and then get your regular player back in a week or two.
So I think if Alvin Kamara sits on Sunday, we kind of all agree that Mark Ingram catapults into at least the top 25 for running backs. Sure. Obviously, he's a runner that's capable of handling a large number of carries. He had 24 all the way back in week one for Houston. He's a good pass catcher as well. Just a note here, he is 20 yards shy of tying the Saints' all-time rushing record for career rushing yards. The great Deuce McAllister currently holds that record. Yeah. I'm sure Deuce will be happy to see Mark take that over. I think it happens on Sunday. But let's hope that this Alvin Kamara absence, if there is one, is just for 1 week. Stefania, Elijah Mitchell was banged up last week, played for San Francisco. I got to tell you, I know it's been a tough year for your guys. He's a really, really bright spot for you. And it sounds he'll be okay for Monday night.
He's a great player. Everybody loves him. The problem was just that once he started doing too much work, he got hurt like everybody else, had a rib injury. So he didn't play as many snaps. The volume was a little bit down last week, but he seemed to do okay through the game. And I think that bodes well for him this week. They're limiting him in practice. I think he is going to be the starter without question on Monday night. Jamichael Hasty has an ankle issue and is not practiced. I don't think he's going to play. Jeff Wilson Jr., we talked about him being activated last week. He was activated for the game, but then didn't end up doing anything. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan has specifically said he expects him to get involved somewhat in this game.
Okay, keep that in mind. Of course, Trey Sermon likely to be inactive again. Maybe he's active and barely plays. Well, afterthought right now.
I would think, based on what Stefania just said, that Sermon would actually be active if Hasty is going to miss this game.
I am active, but maybe not play. I also wouldn't be surprised.
Find somebody who looks at you the opposite of the way that Kyle Shanahan looks at Trey Sermon.
Yes.
Because they hate him with a fiery passion for some reason. With a fiery passion, it feels like.
Well, Elijah Mitchell's good.
Yes, he is.
And I'm not saying that Trey Sermon's story is done yet, but like, they've had big swings on a running back in the draft not that long ago that didn't work out.
Yeah. I will say there is, and you know, just in their pass catchers, there's some news here. Deebo Samuel, not on the injury report.
That's good news right there. Stefania, let's keep things moving. And for those that maybe don't know the specifics of the IR rules, when a player is designated to return from IR until he is placed back on the active roster officially, his status, full, limited, non-participant in practice, is not disclosed by the team. So there's a little bit of gray area here with Chris Carson, Stefania, as he has not been activated to the roster, but he has been designated to return. Do you get any sense about his availability for Sunday?
There's more of a gut feeling, and I think today is a big day because he's only had a couple days of practice, and yesterday was the first time that he was getting some contacts. Pete Carroll had specifically described it as he's going to get banged around a little bit, and with this neck issue that he has, that's one of their big concerns, is him coming into a game and absorbing the kind of contact a running back takes and flaring up these symptoms that were quite severe. Right now, he's symptom-free. His conditioning is fantastic, and that would present the opportunity for him to get right into this game. I just think they may be a little concerned about the relatively few days of practice, the little opportunity to get bumped around in that practice, see how he does. It's away at Green Bay. They have a home game next week against Cardinals. So at this point, I'm not feeling super confident that he plays, but it's still open.
I believe Seattle travels tomorrow, Saturday. And if you don't bring a player with you on a trip, you have to rule that player out the night before the game. So perhaps we get some clarity either through that or through whether he is activated to the roster or not. Stand by. More on that one on Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Stefania, speaking
before
of
players. Before you move off of Chris Carson, I just want to bring up one quick thing.
Okay.
Just off the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know, because I got some tweets about this. DK Metcalf's listed as questionable.
Happens every week.
Every week. I was just literally been the same exactly. Thing. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He's gonna play. Don't worry about it. But just in terms of if you get a notification, because I got a notification from ESPN saying like, hey, player in your lineup is listed as questionable, and it was DK Metcalf. And so anyway, don't panic. It's been happening every week. Yeah. They're managing something there. So that's all I just wanted to say.
Same foot issue he's been dealing with. So good call by you. He will play on Sunday, barring something completely unforeseen. Stefania, let's get back to the injuries here. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, also designated to return, but not yet activated. So again, gut call here What do you which way are you leaning on, Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
A day ago, I would have said no way, but they've been raving about how he's looked in practice these first couple of days, which now makes it sound like there's a chance. So I don't have a great feel on this one, Field, and I think today this is going to be one of those where they just see where they're at.
Matthew, I think if he is activated for Sunday night's game against the Raiders, I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable playing any Chiefs running back because Darrell Williams has been too useful. Yeah. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire already had limitations. Plus, Derek Gore might get 5 carries a game now. That, like, they might just sort of eat away each other's value enough that, like, one of them will finish as, like, RB22 for the week. I'm just not so sure which one it'll be.
It's Darrell Williams.
If one of them finishes as running back 22 or so for the week, I would argue it'll be Darrell Williams because he'll get into the end zone.
Interesting. I don't disagree.
I think Darrell Williams has proven himself over this period of time that he is the superior short yardage goal line back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that he is more than just a blocking guy, that they have unlocked his fantasy value. I think Darrell Williams has done a lot to improve his, not just his fantasy stock, obviously, but his NFL stock and his Kansas City Chiefs stock. I'm not in that locker room. Maybe they always liked him, but I feel like Andy Reid and his staff were like, hey, we've got something here in Darrell Williams and we don't need to make him just a part-time player. Now, are they not going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Of course they are. But I think it's going to be more of a committee than it was previously, where it was sort of 70-30 CEH to Darrell Williams. I think it's probably more 50-50. And in fact, for this first game back, my guess is it'd be kind of 60-40 in favor of Darrell Williams. And Darrell Williams will get the high-value touches. He'll get those short yardage and red zone looks, would be my expectation here. Now, listen, it's the Chiefs, and they can always do like a shovel pass to an offensive lineman for 2 touchdowns. And you're just like, what are we doing? But in general, I would argue that it would be, if I had to start a Chiefs running back this week, it's Darrell Williams over CEH. I have one question for you, Field Ministry, yes, before we move on. I've seen some people float this out on Twitter, on fantasy Twitter. I forget who originated it, or I didn't see who originated it, so I apologize. It's not my thought. But I'm curious if you put any credence into this. If you look at Patrick Mahomes' numbers with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the starting lineup, it's averaging like over 30 points a game.
Yeah.
His recent run this last month, he's QB22 over the last month. Darrell Williams has been the running back. Is that coincidence? Some people have said like, oh, CEH is coming back, so Mahomes is going to be back. Do you buy any of that, or you think it's just coincidence?
I think it's coincidence. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of what CEH does so much better or differently than Darrell Williams, right? Like, I think if anything, Darrell Williams has brought some really useful things to their offense, but maybe I'm wrong.
The only thing I can think of, and I'd have to have any numbers, by the way. But the only thing I think of is that CEH has been so ineffective that Mahomes had to, like, basically do more passing. But, you know, I mean, like, just basically because the reason Mahomes hasn't been as good is because Darrell Williams actually has been good. And that having ineffective Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually forces Mahomes to do more. But I think it's just coincidence, and I think it's just sort of matchup and how Mahomes has played. I don't think it's anything about those 2 players. But I wanted to just sort of bring that up, real quickly, just to mention that. Go ahead.
But that was a good thought there by you.
Thank you.
Let's move forward here.
You don't have to sound surprised.
Well, every once in a while.
Blind squirrel finds a nut, you know.
That's right. A couple more here, Stefania. These can be quick because we think Keenan Allen is A-okay.
Yes, back in limited practice yesterday, and a very important note, the Chargers featured him on a Twitter post. All these Keenan Allen highlights just yesterday, so doubt they would do that.
He'll be fine, I agree there. And then Logan Thomas, this is an interesting one for the Washington football team. We thought he'd be good to go for this week. Do we think that's still the case?
I don't think we did after Wednesday.
I did.
Oh, because he had that workout and he came away sore. I mean, you can't put somebody who's dealing with a hamstring injury who tries to test it running and says he feels sore afterward into a game. Well, maybe you do if you're Washington, but I don't think that would be the smartest move. I mean, Ron Rivera is leaving it open, saying that it might not be decided until Friday. But to me, you've already lost this valuable player for an extended period because of a hamstring issue, and he's still dealing with soreness this week. I'm not sure if they activate him, I'd be awfully nervous about starting him.
So skeptical to play Logan Thomas, even if he does play. We'll find out.
He's not practicing today. And my
expectation, right
under the wall. There you go.
My expectation is Ricky Seals-Jones. It's at least one more week. By the way, just speaking of that game real quickly, Field Yates. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored by 9.5 points.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say 90.
I mean, any line would not surprise me.
Usually take the over on
just
that.
For fun. 19. Just for fun. Just for giggles.
I'm in.
I say the Washington football team covers the 9.5 against Tampa Bay this week.
I say the Washington football team does not cover the 9.5 and the Bucs win outright. A huge number. Put on the board.
There's got to be something real you wager for that, because that's just going to be too. You really think that they're going to cover?
No, I don't. That's why I'm just putting it on the board. I'm not putting actual real money on.
Oh,
this.
We can put something on there. I mean, it's fun.
Like, we're I'm trying just to saying, I've said gambling it is more likely here. Than not that the Buccaneers absolutely destroy you.
I'll give you a 50% odds boost at 12.5.
There you go.
There you go.
Look at you.
That's what I want.
That's what I need.
Yes.
Yeah. I need an odds boost. I'll. You want to do? You'll do a meal.
We'll do a meal.
Let's you and I bet a meal on 12.5. You're going to give me the odds.
Deal.
Boost.
I like it.
All right, we're coming back to discuss a couple of quarterbacks who we think will be back on Sunday. But first, hey Stefania, do you own or rent your home?
I do, Field Yates.
You sure do. Congratulations. And you know what? I know it's hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You know, we can't all be college football national champs.
We try, though.
But every one of us can be an Eckrich National Tailgate Champion, and you don't need years of training. You just need Eckrich smoked sausage. To win, you need to show Eckrich how you do you every game day. Do you have a special recipe passed down over generations? Do you dress your sausage with team color toppings? Do you lay your deli meat on your sandwich as thick as you lay on the trash talk? Well, however you do you, Eckrich wants to see it in all its glory. Enter at Eckrich.com/tailgate. Eckrich is the official sponsor of the college football playoff. You do you. All right, and it is time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, with two quarterbacks potentially returning this week in both Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson Field. Let's break both of these guys down.
Who would have thought that Russell Wilson would be more likely to play in this game on Sunday after he had a significant hand injury just about a month ago? But
Matthew's raising his hand, but he's the only one, I think.
I mean, I'm surprised he missed any games. Like, right. He was throwing passes with his left hand.
No, I know.
Yes, we know.
We heard. Stefania, how certain are we that Russell Wilson not just plays, but is efficient and actually useful? Like, are we worried that this could, I'll be honest with you, like, it was pretty tough watching Tua last night. When I was watching him, I'm like, this guy looks like someone who has a broken middle finger.
Right. And I think that Russell Wilson's in different shape. Totally different injury. Very, very severe injury. But I think the rehab he's done speaks for itself. And again, we talked about this at length yesterday, so I don't want to go through all the detail. But the point is, he's gotten what he needs to be able to perform. Remember, he doesn't have to have totally full range of motion at the tip of his finger. He doesn't have to have 100% strength. He doesn't have to make a fist, but he does have to be able to grip a football. And so he's shown that he can do that, make the throws, etc. There is some risk just in what we saw with Tua last night. You encounter somebody else's hand. That's how he broke his finger. He hit Aaron Donald. So he doesn't come in without risk because he's not 100% healed. But his conditioning is phenomenal, as we know. We've seen him keep those workouts up. I expect him to look like Russell Wilson. The only other thing that could be problematic is what is the temperature? I haven't looked at the weather yet. Oh, but one thing, right, when now you've got hardware in your hand and it's really cold, that will make you stiffen up. So that would be, that to me is a little bit of an X factor. Now, I expect him to keep hand warmers on between, but once you're out on the field, if you're on the field for a full drive, that would be the only sort of X factor. Ask anyone who's got metal implanted and they'll tell you they know when it's cold out, because you get a little bit stiffer.
Yeah, it's
Daniel, you have metal implanted. Don't can you tell when it's cold out?
I can. Yeah. I can. It's cold right now.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. By the way, no one asked Daniel. We're on air. No one asked Daniel where he's got metal implants.
Okay. I will keep moving forward then. It's going to be cold Sunday
it's a
on Green
told
Bay.
Me in confidence. Yep. So I will keep that between us.
You have made this very awkward. It's Green Bay in November. It's going to be cold on Sunday, perhaps as cold as like 25 degrees during the later portions of that game. So expect plenty of hand warmers for Russell Wilson.
He will not be unlimited.
He will be Mr. Limited.
So you're not going to play him?
I'm definitely playing him.
Okay, there you go. Good answer there, Stefania. By the way,
and I would just like to point out, like, just making things awkward is sort of my superpower. Mm-hmm. I just so you know, like, I felt like that was on brand for me.
I agree with that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate
Stefania,
that.
I do want to mention, of course, Aaron Rodgers' status, and I know we have Nick Chubb scheduled for later in the show, but because it's the same situation in one sense, I will talk about him after Aaron Rodgers, but what's the latest with his timeline?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Saturday is when we find out.
Okay, so we'll find out Saturday. And I know, in case we don't get to it, the same thing goes for Nick Chubb and any players on the COVID-19 list. And Rodgers is eligible to be activated as soon as tomorrow. He's different than Nick Chubb because Chubb is a vaccinated player. But obviously, if either of them is not activated by 4 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, Eastern time, that makes them ineligible to play on Sunday. Rodgers, we think, has a pretty good chance of playing. That's what the Packers have been saying all week. Nick Chubb, we'll see if he is available, but just for the timeline on any player who's currently on the COVID-19 list, if they are not activated by 4 p.m. Eastern time, Daniel, they cannot play on Sunday.
That's right. Pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app.
Hey, Stefania, can I ask one quick question here about the COVID-19 list designation?
You can.
All right.
Hopefully I can answer it.
Yeah, well, listen.
Sounded a little aggressive. Can you say, may I ask a question?
May I
ask?
Well, sorry.
Great call, Daniel.
Fair.
Yeah. Great call.
I apologize. Yeah. I apologize to everyone on the staff. So, Stefania, thank you for granting me the permission to ask you a question.
You have
the tell you. Thank you. And I will tell you that whether you can answer or not, I know you've got a better shot at it than I do. Because Aaron Rodgers is a unvaccinated player in the eyes of the league, and he has gotten it. Can he be placed back on the COVID list again? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Once he is cleared.
I'll answer that for you. Yes.
Okay.
If you get exposed to somebody again, then yes.
Yeah. It's too long to go into here, but you are granted it's like you have some immunity established by having the disease. So the rules are different. You slot into a different portion of the protocol.
Right. So that was another question was like, is he not considered vaccinated? But to your point, he has a different designation.
I'll give you an example.
Yes.
Right. Adam Shaheen of the Dolphins, very outspoken about his unvaccinated status.
Okay.
He's been placed on the list twice this season.
Okay.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers will not be tested for 90 days, but this is a whole different kettle of fish. He can still be a close contact of somebody if he remains unvaccinated going forward, which seems to be how he will be operating. There is a chance, but let's hopefully not get to that bridge.
Right. Okay.
But if we have to, we'll cross it.
That's where you probably heard something about that once because there's a nuance.
Right. Different nuance. And to your point, he can't be tested for 90 days, which in theory would take him through at least the regular season. So, okay.
I believe it's championship weekend is the next time he will have to start testing, if I am not mistaken.
Understood. So, but he could always be a close contact. All right, great. Thank you.
That's helpful. A lot of information to jam-pack in the next 9 minutes, Stefania, and we could do probably an entire segment just on the Cardinals alone. There's a lot of updates here. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and then you mentioned this yesterday on the show about A.J. Green, but for those that may have missed it.
Yeah, so A.J. Green has been activated off the reserve COVID-19 list, so he will be available. I'm just looking through all my notes. Both Kyle Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are still dealing with their respective injuries. DeAndre Hopkins with the hamstring, Kyler Murray with the ankle. Kyler Murray sounds like he's in a better spot. I mean, he sounds like he's actually doing much better in terms of the ankle, has more mobility. He sounds a lot different. I think also after this past week, both players understood that if they were not 100%, or certainly at risk of re-injury, because Hopkins, we saw, had a setback with that hamstring. They understand that they don't want to be out there pushing it if they're not ready to go. That being said, I think Kyler Murray has the better chance of the two to play. I would keep an eye on DeAndre Hopkins. He will push it until the end, but we will see. They want to be really careful with that hamstring.
It just feels to me, Stefania, like some of the notes that they were playing last week are being played again this week, talking about the bigger picture. Maybe that's afforded by the fact that they won last week. Now they play a Carolina team that's down to potentially its second string quarterback in PJ Walker. We'll see. We'll keep an update on that. We'll have an update on this injury, this set of injuries, Sunday morning fantasy football. Now, again, if Kyler Murray doesn't start, everybody knows how I feel about Colt McCoy being just a really solid, true professional quarterback.
Wow.
He'll keep the offense afloat.
He's 15 points. He's Stefania. Colt McCoy. Colt, 15 points McCoy.
Stefania, Michael Gallup's been out since, week one due to a calf injury. Could he be back for the Cowboys soon?
He could. I mean, this is... the Cowboys were very smart with how they handled this. I have to say, you know, these calf injuries are not unlike hamstrings, and that guys think they're doing well. They can walk, they can jog, they can even run straight line sprints. But if they try to plant and pivot, or they really try to explode off the line, all of a sudden they feel it and then it's a problem, or they fatigue out over the course of four quarters. So they were very conservative with Michael Gallup, but he's been doing better. I think last week they felt like he was close, but just need a little more time. So I think it's definitely a possibility.
I think this is a wait and see here as far as utilizing him in your lineup for a couple of reasons. One, he's coming off of a calf injury. We presume he's close to 100%, but you'd still like to see it. Two, since Michael Gallup got hurt, we've seen the emergence of a few different players. Dalton Schultz has become a usable tight end. Cedric Wilson's become a nice piece for them at wide receiver. Last week, Malik Taylor had two touchdowns for Dallas. So it may be that Dallas can afford to ease him in a little bit as opposed to making him a full-time player on three receiver sets. So I think we're a week away from really utilizing Michael Gallup in our lineup. Matthew, we are down on time, so let's just rip through some loves this weekend. Let's talk about quarterback streamers, just in case somebody like Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson, which seems the least likely to be an issue, is not available on Sunday.
Yeah, or you're trying to replace Joe Burrow.
Exactly. There are a lot of circumstances under which you may be playing a quarterback this week that you are not normally playing. Give me three that you think have some value this week.
Carson Wentz going against the Jaguars. Look, I get it. The Jaguars played very well against Buffalo last week. I don't think that happens again here. Six straight games now for Wentz with 17 or more fantasy points. He's been the 11th best quarterback in fantasy over that period of time. I'm as a top 10 play this week. I currently have him ranked number 9.
Really quickly, just want to say one thing on that.
Yes, sir.
Carson Wentz has said his wife is expecting a baby on Sunday, and he has said he is playing, whether the baby's born or not. So just a heads up, you may hear something about his wife being due imminently. He has said, I am playing on Sunday no matter what.
1,000%.
Congratulations, by the way.
Listen, congratulations to the Wentz family.
Yes. Yeah. Number two for them.
Absolutely. Yep. Which, right. So he's been there for the first one.
I can't speak to this because I'm not going to miss our baby's birth soon. So I like the idea of missing it is I want to be there for that, but maybe number two, it's like a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, and listen, you're not an NFL quarterback.
That's also a good point.
Yeah, so anyway, whatever. Everyone does their
fish field. This is the second time you've said kettle of fish on the show today. Yeah.
Really?
He's hungry. He needs some fish.
What did I have for dinner last night? I had tacos last night. I did not have fish tacos.
Did you have fish tacos?
I did not have fish tacos. No.
Got him. Duly noted, another quarterback that I like as a streamer this week is Teddy Bridgewater against the Eagles.
They've got a whole kettle of fish for receivers there.
Yeah, they certainly do. I'm at ranked 15th. Past 4 weeks, Eagles allow the second most passing yards per game. My expectation here is Darius Slay is on Cortland Sutton, so not particularly great, feeling great about him, but Jerry Jeudy is back. Hopefully the tight ends are back as well. They run well. I think Teddy Bridgewater gives you, mid-tier QB2 numbers.
Do you see that stat about Philly right now?
What's that?
They're allowing the highest completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks ever in a single season.
Yeah.
I think it's 75.7%.
Love to see that. Listen, anytime there's a negative defensive stat about a team in the NFC East that isn't Washington,
you're like,
I'm on board.
Inject it.
Yes, inject it. Exactly right. Give that to me. And also Matt Ryan, who I have as QB13. I actually have him ranked higher than Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Ryan, look, we expect this to be a shootout against the Cowboys. 54.5 over under, that is the highest on the slate. Since week four, I think this was shocking to a lot of people.
Okay.
Since week four, Matt Ryan is the 10th best quarterback in fantasy on a points per game basis.
It's been good.
By hook or by crook, Cowboys allow over 270 passing yards a game. That's 8th most in the NFL. I do think Matt Ryan, even without Calvin Ridley, finds a way to get productive fantasy numbers. In the War Room League, I am playing Matt Ryan over Kirk Cousins this week.
There you have
it. Just as an example.
Good options there. Let's get to a few running backs that make the love list that we have not yet had the chance to talk about. And reminder, Nick Chubb has a chance to play on Sunday. He technically could be activated by Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. If he does, this changes the conversation.
It does.
If he's not, Matthew, then I think D'Ernest Johnson comes right into focus.
The D'Ernest Johnson makes the love list with the assumption that Nick Chubb is not playing this week. I'm ranked at number 14 with that in mind. You think about the week 7 game against the Cowboys, 22 carries, 146 yards, also added a couple of passes for 22 yards as well. Over 160 total yards from scrimmage. He also scored that week, 24.8 fantasy points. He was the second best running back in fantasy. And more importantly, Field, during that game, showed he could be an every down workhorse back, looked the part, got more than was blocked, made people miss, was active in the passing game and in the running game. We know Cleveland loves to run the ball. It's one of the best offensive lines in football. So I don't know. I like this game, especially, by the way, last 4 weeks, Patriots allow the eighth highest yards per carry to opposing running backs. You head into Gillette. That's what you want to do, is you want to try to run the ball. And finally, listen, James Conner, and I get it. Like, really, Barry, the week after three touchdowns, he's on your love list. I know. A little bit of a kettle of fish. How about fish in a barrel? It's a little bit of shooting fish in a barrel.
Right.
But I guess what I want to say is that I don't think this is a fluke. I know we've talked about Conner throughout the week. Arizona likes to run when they get in close. Whether Kyler Murray or Colt McCoy is under center, I believe it's going to be the James Conner show, and I have Conner as a top 10 play this week, like a clear-cut RB1. He's currently number 8 in my running back ranks. 11 touchdowns from scrimmage. He's 18th in total touchdowns, yet he's 8th in total touches. He's 11th in touchdowns. He leads the NFL in touchdowns with 11, yet he is 18th in terms of total touches. So he's not getting a ton of volume, but he's being very efficient with those touches. When they get in close, he's the guy. They get in close a lot.
Nice story to see James Conner blossoming once again in Arizona. They are 8-1, looking to improve to 9-1 against the Carolina Panthers. Again, we'll have more next week on the signing of Odell Beckham Jr. to the Los Angeles Rams and the return of Cam Newton to the Carolina Panthers. A reminder, though, you can get all the information on the latest injury updates from the great Stefania Bell two ways. Stefania_ESPN on Twitter.
That's one way, yeah.
Very useful. Two, Fantasy Football Now, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. Myself, Mike Clay, Damian Woody, guests and reporters from all over the stadium. Stefania Bell.
Well, I want to give a quick shout out because it's Fun Shirt Friday.
Oh, Matthew Berry as well.
My band, not my band, my friends who are in this folk duo based in Chicago have a CD. They're huge fans of the pod, and they sent me this T-shirt and said, Stefania, you can be like Daniel and have a crappy band no one's ever heard of.
That's so true.
Hold on, though.
The name of the band is Almond A&O?
Almond and Olive.
Almond and Olive. Yeah, one of them named Almond and one of them named Olive?
Her last name is Alms, and so she's Natalie. It's Almond, and then Ollie is the other half of the duo. And right. So it's Almond and Olive.
Can I ask Daniel a question?
Great music. Yeah.
So I can't wait to check out Almond and Olive. Daniel, have you ever heard of Almond and Olive?
I haven't. That's a crappy band. I don't know.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow, when you're a crappy band that even Daniel hasn't heard of, that's amazing.
I'm
going to on my drive home.
Yeah. That is so good. All right, we're back on Monday.
Do they have a website, Almond and Olive? I'm sure they're on all of them.
Yes, they do. Google them. I don't know the exact website. Right. Google them. You'll find their music.
Good luck to Almond and Olive. Sorry, Stefania. Sorry. So go ahead.
Nothing else to say. We're back on Monday.
So we're at Field Yates, at Daniel Dopp, at Stefania_ESPN. I'm at Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app. We're merely at Matthew Berry. Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.